Amen. Good morning once again. It is so good to be with you once again this morning. And thank you for that reading from Scripture. Always good to see God's Word opened up and lifted up for us, for our lives. So thank you for that. We're talking today about the story of Jonah, and it's one of the best loved stories in the Bible. You probably remember it from when you were a kid, or if you're a kid now, that might be one of the stories you really resonate with and remember. It's about how Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, that great city, and to give God's message. But Jonah didn't want to go. Instead, Jonah went down to the seaport, got on a ship, and went the opposite direction. I'll show you a map here just so you can see what we're talking about. Jonah goes to Joppa, and instead of going to Nineveh, he flees towards Tarshish. And on the way there, he gets thrown overboard in a storm, and he gets thrown overboard by the sailors. He goes down, 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 and he's swallowed up by a great fish, who we sometimes call a whale, but it's a fish. And then Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of the fish, and in the belly, Jonah prays to God for salvation, for hope. And so finally, this fish spits Jonah back up, like bleh, up onto the beach. And you can imagine being at the beach that day when this happens. But Jonah gets spit up on the beach and comes out and says, wow, I'm on dry land again. So then God gives Jonah a second chance. And that's right where we pick up the story for today. But before we move into this story, I just want to point something out on this map that I'm showing you. First of all, that Joppa is a real place. You could go there today. It's on the map. It's a port city. Today it's called Jaffa. And Nineveh is a real place on the map. You could go there. You could travel there. But Tarshish, where Jonah decides to go and wants to go, there's not agreement about that. Some people place Tarshish, like here, on the southern coast of Spain. But other Bible commentators aren't so sure. Some people say maybe Tarshish wasn't an actual physical destination, but more of a fantastical escape. You know, an idealized place of life, kind of a Shangri-La. And Jonah maybe was running away from some of the messy things or the hard things of life and just trying to go and be somewhere that he really wanted to be, away from it all. These are days in this pandemic when we might have a similar inclination. You know, we don't want to be in Nineveh. We'd like to go to Tarshish and sit on the beach. I've heard this week from a number of you who have gotten, some of you have gotten the vaccine for COVID. Others have gotten appointments so that you can have your vaccine. You know, and people are telling me, I'm getting it in a week. I'm getting it in 2 weeks. I've got my date. And I'm so happy for you. I really am. But my first thought, honestly, is kind of jealousy. Like, if you get that vaccine, you'll be able to travel. You could go to Hawaii. You could do what you want. You'll be free. I don't know if that's actually exactly true. Maybe you should still stick here. But you get the point. We have this desire, maybe in a pandemic time, to get away from it all. You know, we have a limited ability to move around. We have a limited chance for our kids to advance in school or to do our work or to get together here as a church in person. So I wish that there was a Tarshish we could all go to together. Maybe it would be like a weekend retreat. Maybe it would be a Mexico mission trip. Maybe it would be a barbecue on the front lawn. Maybe it would just be like a Sunday here in the sanctuary together. But for now, we cannot go to those places. Instead, we are being asked to go to Nineveh. We're being asked by God to be in Nineveh as God's faithful people. Nineveh, to Jonah's way of thinking, was simply this: the place he didn't want to be, the situation he didn't want to face, the people he didn't want to help. Nineveh was the hard realities that Jonah would rather avoid and get away from. He wanted to run away, but God caught him and called him again and gave him a second chance to be faithful right where he was, Nineveh. Maybe that's something that we need to hear again. Maybe that's something you need to hear again today, that God asks us to be faithful in doing a hard thing. God is asking you and me to be faithful in doing some hard things these days. I wonder what that hard thing would be for you. What would that look like? What's that Nineveh setting? Is that around the difficulty of working remotely and the disconnect there? Is it around your kids with homeschool? Is it around our church life and how do we organize ourselves and make good decisions? Is it around the political sphere where you've got to be prepared to move forward in a hopeful, positive way for our country? What is the Nineveh for you? What are the hard things that you're kind of holding on to? God asks us, when we face those realities, to be faithful to be God's faithful people in the midst of it. We don't get to go to Tarshish. We're called to Nineveh. So for me, I'll be honest, one of those places that is really hard is being here in the sanctuary when it's empty. And to be here by myself preaching to you, but to have none of you here with me. I would much rather that we could all be together. In fact, for me, my Tarshish might be this sanctuary with you all in, packed in the pews, singing the hymns and songs of our faith, greeting each other with a hug or a high five or a handshake. For me, my Tarshish might be going over to the social hall after worship and lingering over a cup of coffee to talk and catch up. You know, having my kids playing up on the stage with your kids or running up and down the hall. You know, meeting new families who are here moving to the area or meeting your out-of-town guests who are coming to stay and you bring them to church. I love it. You know, maybe it's the way that on the way home from church, I can stop by the hospital and visit with somebody and pray with somebody who's getting treatment of some kind. That's my Tarshish. That's what I love and like and want. But the Nineveh is being here in the circumstance we find ourselves. My Tarshish is full of people to help and reach and love. But God is asking us to be faithful while we do a hard thing. And so that means not going to Tarshish, but going to Nineveh. And the twist is, the interesting twist is this. In Nineveh, it's also full of people to reach and love and help in God's name. Jonah hears God's call and goes to Nineveh. This is the second part of this story. That great city. He finally goes. First, and then he brings this this message to the city. The city is so large, it takes 3 days to walk across. But Jonah goes in just 1 day's journey and proclaims 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. So I have a couple questions. First is that really the message that God gave to Jonah? That sounds like a Jonah kind of message. He doesn't like these people. He doesn't want to be there. He says, you're about to get overthrown. 40 days more. It's kind of doom and gloom. But there's something about it where it's this 40-day period. We know that God in the Bible uses 40-day periods, you know, for preparation, for testing, for formation. 40 days are a significant time in the Bible. And so, there's an old saying, it goes like this, nothing focuses a mind like a deadline. Isn't that true? Nothing focuses a mind like a deadline. When I have something due, I'll flitter around my time, but then once it's due, I got to get it done. And it's the same for people here. God, through Jonah, puts the people on kind of a final countdown clock. You know, 40 days more and you're in trouble. So that focuses their minds. Maybe that calls for a response. Another question I have, just along with that, was that the real message? Is also, Jonah goes 1 day into the city, not three. He doesn't go around to every single place and canvass the city. He just goes partway in. Does that mean that Jonah is a reluctant prophet, a reluctant servant of God? I think it is. I think it does mean that, because he doesn't really want to be there, but he's doing the faithful thing that God has asked, even though it's hard. It would make sense when you think about that Nineveh in your life. It's a situation you don't really want to deal with, something that's hard for you about this COVID time, about the outworkings at work or at home or at school, whatever it is. We can be quite reluctant to embrace this reality. So Jonah's kind of being half-hearted. He's a half-hearted prophet in this sense. And maybe that's familiar. You know, he only goes partway into the city, so maybe we're only going partway as well. We're kind of holding our breath. We're kind of waiting it out. We're kind of hunkering down. I think that's what a lot of us are doing. But here's the surprising thing about this story. Even though Jonah only goes partway into the city, kind of half-hearted, and gives this message, God still uses his half measures. God still uses his response. God still uses even the little things that Jonah does. And I think it's going to be true for us as well. In the story, the whole city responds to Jonah's message. And they proclaim a religious fast. They believe in God. And they put on sackcloth and ashes, which are like a sign of true repentance, a change of heart. Jonah did not take this mission to Nineveh with great pleasure. He didn't embrace it as his highest and truest calling. And church, I want to tell you something. My prayer for us is that this time, this COVID situation, would not be God's highest and truest calling for any of us either. I pray that there are many greater things ahead for us as a church and individually. I believe that there are great things that we can really enjoy in the future. But right now, this is our faithful calling to come through this time together. So God asks Jonah to go. He goes even reluctantly, and God uses even that response. For us, it's the same way. God asks us to dwell in the Nineveh of COVID. Even our small response can be used by God for good, for God's good. God can use that. I heard news this week from my old church back in Providence, Rhode Island, about a woman in the congregation there who passed away. Her name was Michiko, and she's an older Japanese woman who had moved late in life to the United States to live with her daughter, Yuki. And I used to see Michiko every week at our church there, on Sunday mornings for worship, but then also on Friday mornings, we had a Bible study group that was for English language learners, like an ESL Bible study. And she would come every week and bring little cookies that she made. And Michiko told me the story, the way that she lived as a young girl in Japan, in Kyoto, during World War II. And the way that after the war ended, Christian missionaries were allowed to come into Japan and openly share the gospel, kind of for the first time in her memory. And the missionary movement during that time was known as Love Among the Ruins, because the country was ruined. It had been bombed and attacked and all the rest. And she told me that she and her friends from school went to see these strange preachers, mostly Americans. They went to listen to their message. And it was striking because just a few months before, these Americans had been seen as the enemy, and they had come to her city to preach this message about God. And she told me that she was moved to very quickly accept Christ and to be baptized as a 16-year-old girl in those post-war years in Japan. And I wonder how it is that Michiko and her girlfriends were able so quickly to respond to God's message, the gospel message. And I kind of wonder similarly how it is that the people in Nineveh were able so quickly to respond to Jonah's message about God as well. And I think the reason is this, and don't miss this part, is that God's presence and work is always prior and previous to ours. God's presence and work in somebody's life, in some situation, is always prior and previous to ours, to our work, to our response. So God is already at work, even now, priming the pump, if you will, in people's lives, setting the stage for our church's future, making a way for us to come through COVID. God is prior to us, and we'll never know until the moment comes or the opportunity opens what we've been prepared for, what we're ready for, what we can do. So we cannot flee from Nineveh, even though it's hard. And part of the reason is God's already here working in this time, just like God was in Kyoto working during the war. So what if the people that we think about as most hopeless, the most resistant, the hardest to deal with, those who seem so far gone into whatever wrong area that may be, what if God is actually working in them right now? The person with whom you have political differences, the person with whom you are struggling at work or in your neighborhood, the situation at home that's fraught because everyone's stuck together. What if God is actually really working in their life right now? The calling on our lives, the faithful response we have, is to let God's work be prior and to prepare ourselves to be ready to stay here so that when our opportunity comes, we can respond with our lives. So don't get me wrong. I don't mean you got to go around nudging everybody and be like, hey, God's working in your life, you know? And although if you're with somebody at home, you can nudge them right now. Give them like the nudge in the ribs of peace, just on the couch there. You could do that. We don't need to go around, you know, bugging everybody, but we do hold this conviction that God is working ahead of us and preparing so that when we come in, our calling can be to give that last nudge where God opens the opportunity for us. When it comes to this story of Jonah and the Ninevites, maybe God was there working the whole time, preparing them, opening them, working in unseen ways, so that right at the right moment, Jonah could get spit up on the beach by the fish, finally go to Nineveh, bring this message, even if it was half-hearted, and they were able to say yes. The Christian mystic Thomas Merton has written this. He says, "It is both dangerous and easy to hate man as he is, because he is not what he ought to be. If we do not first respect what he is, we will never suffer him to become what he ought to be. In our impatience, we will do away with him altogether." So if God has patience for the Ninevites, we need to as well. If God has patience for the Ninevites in our lives, the people and circumstance that we might be dealing with, then we also need to be patient and seek faithful ways to live in our times. You know, I read an article this last week in the Christian Century magazine by the editor, and he says that there are three main stances toward God that are the beginning of faith. Three main ways that we are oriented that help us to come to know and trust God, whether for the first time or again and again. And he names them as these: gratitude, need, and desire. Gratitude, need, and desire. And I want to finish today by just talking through each of these three. The first is gratitude. One of the striking things about being in Nineveh, in the Nineveh of COVID, if you will, is that so many of us are realizing and remembering the ways we've been blessed. You know, this is a time actually for thanksgiving to God for the many things that we have, the lives that we have that are ordered and oriented in a certain way, where we are not out on the street, we are not necessarily in the hospital. Now, I know that some of you listening, have those kind of physical needs around your finances and your work, around your housing, around your health. That is real. But I also know that when we have, when we're able to realize our blessings, we have an attitude of gratitude. We're able to be thankful towards God. This last week, I got a thank you note in the mail from a woman that we had helped through our church who had some needs. And this is what she wrote. She said, "I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for the generous gift and the unconditional support during this difficult time. I'm so blessed to be a part of PCLG." One of the ways to draw close to God in this time is to have a heart full of gratitude. I wonder for you today, just reflecting on this, even if you're in Nineveh, what are some of those things that you're just thankful for, you thank God for, you have a heart of gratitude for? Second stance, along with gratitude, that orients us toward God is need. When we have need, we turn toward God. I know that in my prayer life. If I have a need, that's when I'm especially talking to God about that need. And that's not the best practice, but it's true. So there's some recent research that came out this last summer from the Barna Group, which is like a national polling data company that especially focuses often on Christian groups and churches and things. And they found, this is what they found, that there are two main things that most Christians are looking for from their church in this time. Two main things that people like us are seeking and hoping to find in their church experience, even if it's online. And here's what they are. The first one is prayer and emotional support. The second one is a Bible-centered message of hope and encouragement. So, we all have these physical needs that we're talking about, of course, and some of us have many more needs than others, so we're thankful for our situations. But I know that there are also these deeper needs, you know, emotional and spiritual needs, that the church, even in an online format like this, is really set up to try and meet. That's what we try to do in our worship time together. To let you hear the great hymns of the faith and sing along at home, to be prayed for and to know what's happening in the life of the church, to see the children's message and the passing of the peace and the call to confession and all the different parts that go on in our service. They're meant to sort of say to you at home, let us support you emotionally and spiritually, and let us give you a message from the scripture of hope and encouragement every week. I believe that when we are oriented that way through our need, when we have a need, it brings us closer to God if we let it. So then finally, the third stance that can orient us towards God is desire. Desire. Last week we talked about the fourth step in the AA 12-step programs, which was making a searching and fearless moral inventory. And today I want to just share another one from the AA world. And here's what it is. Alcoholics Anonymous is open to anyone who has, quote, an honest desire for change, an honest desire to change. That's in the world of addictions, but I think it's also true for us. An honest desire for God can orient us towards what God will do. So I don't know where you are today when it comes to your faith, to your life with God, or to how you might see your story and Jonah's story intersecting. But I do know that when we have an honest desire for growth, for change, for forgiveness, or for hope, I know that God meets us in that. That's my prayer for you. So in the Nineveh of the Bible, it is clear that God was at work before Jonah showed up. The people responded, even to the small things that Jonah was able to do. And it's the same way in the Nineveh of our times. God is already active, already working, already making a way for us. So whether through gratitude, need, or desire, orient yourself again, open yourself again, come near again to the God who is here, present and prior to you. And then, as we respond with our lives, let us go out to live as God's faithful people, to do the hard things we're called to do these days, and to do all of it in the name of Christ who leads us. May it be so for you today. Amen.